760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Hello, hello. It is a new day. I am Josh Harris, excited to be with you this morning with my dear friend Allison DeLuhl and Dave Savage.
Good morning.
Howdy.
There you go. Well, it is a privilege to find joy in the journey with you this morning, and the source of joy, the joy of the Lord, is our strength. So let's tap into that joy with a beautiful prayer. I'll just say in the name of the Father,
Son,
the Son, the
Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we lift our country up to you. As I say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
And Mary, patroness of America, pray for our leaders. As I say, Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Double amen to that. You know, I last night I was at a Holy Spirit Catholic Church doing some service work with a dear friend, and went to Mass and went back home after that. Actually, I popped into a graveyard and got that plenary indulgence Chuck was talking about for a holy soul in purgatory.
Amen.
Yes, I think I'm going to make that a daily pit stop until, until that you know time span is expired. But I went home, and it's kind of an interesting thing. I popped through my mom's place. I was going back to my place, and of course the news was on, and it was so easy to get. I'm just going to pop in and sit down for a minute.
A minute.
Yeah.
Just a minute, and boy, do they know how to hook you in, okay? I mean, like, yeah, so an hour later, and my mom is like, you need to go to bed. Yeah, she turned into eighth grade Mama Bear.
Yes.
And next commercial, I promise. But it was just such a beautiful reminder for me. I go downstairs, and I just start praying, and I set a curfew. I said, you are not allowed to check anything, any television, any news sources, till at least 5 in the morning. No matter what. And what did I do with that time? I prayed a rosary, prayed some scripture. I memorized the beginning of John, Book of John, 1 through 5.
Okay, so we'll quiz you on that later.
I can't wait to do that.
But it's just a reminder that am I putting more attention, anxiety, interest in the news or the Lord? And all that stuff's going to be the same regardless if I'm present to that or not, but I can put my attention to Christ. And man, let me tell you, it was so soul nourishing, and just to know that I was sort of in a lockdown with the Lord.
Well, and you got to remember too that no matter what happened yesterday in the election, no matter what who won, what proposals got approved or whatever, God's in charge.
Amen.
You know, he still reigns.
It's all in his hands. So we've got, none of that stuff really matters. In the big picture, none of that matters.
Yeah, yes. if we are leading on the Lord and the Lord is in charge, I mean, we got to remember, too, scripturally, what was going on in Jesus' time. He mission accomplished, and yet there wasn't the greatest leadership around. I mean, you have Herod going around murdering babies 2 and under.
Yeah.
And yet that didn't deter the Lord from actualizing his plan and, bringing the Son of God.
Fulfilling it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On an ultimate rescue mission for our salvation.
Amen. No, I was up, just kind of checking I was checking different websites, but I was praying. I was doing the flying novena, and just praying. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to bed. And whatever happens, happens. So, yeah, it was nice. I had a nice rest. I really did. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
And regardless, I think it's a beautiful reminder. This is such a polarizing season, right? But regardless of where the hat landed in terms of for or against someone you were rooting for, a measure you were rooting for, Jesus says to pray for those people who are, that we might have some difficulty liking or agreeing mm-hmm. with, right? And that is so important that the Lord loves that person as much as they love me.
Well,
and I got to remember
all
that.
Of us. And that's the key.
We're all God's children.
We are all God's children, whether they think like us or believe like us or not. So mm-hmm. prayer is the key.
Amen. Well said.
Well, we have a good show coming up. We have Father Adam Blatt from Christ, our King and Savior in Greensboro. He's going to be diving into the Word with us today. Chuck Persner is going to be back talking about our saint of the day, St. Martin de Porres. And Jane Smith, she is a parishioner at St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming. Amazing, amazing interview I had with her. She's going to be talking about the actual corpus, the body of Christ that is on their cross, the crucifix mm-hmm. at their parish. Great, great story. And then coming up next, we have Carissa Williams. She is a Catholic doula, and she's going to be talking about how she journeys with pregnant mothers.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
I am so thrilled to have a very special guest, a longtime friend, and now a Catholic doula, really helping people in one of the most pivotal moments of their life, which is bringing forth new life. Carissa Williams, it's so wonderful to have you here.
Thanks, Josh. So happy to be here.
So for those that might not be aware, what is a doula?
So the word doula actually is a Greek word that means a woman who serves. In simple terms, we serve other women through pregnancy, birth, postpartum, whatever that looks like, particularly continuous labor support during the birth of a child.
You are just such a caring soul, and so it makes sense to me that you gravitated in this direction or in a direction like this that really deals with personal ministry. You've been involved in personal ministry throughout your life, but what first inspired you to make this pivot to become a Catholic doula, and how has your faith shaped your approach to the work?
Yeah, so I actually ran a nonprofit ministry for about 10 years called Hula for Happiness, and we shared the gospel through hula hoop dance, and actually that has morphed into a new kind of ministry. I really feel that birth doula work is ministry. You're serving mm-hmm. the mom, you're serving the whole family to prepare for a beautiful birth, to welcome a child, to start parenthood off correctly. Mm-hmm. So for me, it is a ministry. So the hula hoop inspired a little bit of that, and now I'm the hula doula. So all my clients get hula hoops. They come to a dance studio in my house. We do fitness classes and try to keep them moving in pregnancy, but also moving in labor. So that's a big part of what I do, is keep moms moving and position changes, trying to have very supported births. Most clients are coming to me because they want an unmedicated birth, trying to go a little bit more of a holistic route, but they're nervous maybe how to do that. So movement is a huge part of what I do. So I love to be able to integrate that.
I asked you before, people are opting to have these children at home, right? Mm-hmm. I was wondering, is it always at home? Because when I think doula, I knew very little before our conversation, but it sounds to me like my intuitive understanding was, it seems to me like it would be a home birth experience. Is that traditionally the case?
Yeah. So as a doula, I support all birth options and try to help guide you to what those birth wishes might be. Build up your birth plan, but I call them birth wishes. Like, what mm-hmm. do you dream for your birthday? So some of those are home. I do a lot of home births. I love home birth. I love the midwives that I get to serve with at home. I support hospital birth with midwives. I've had several clients need C-sections for different reasons. I've had inductions. So it kind of depends. There's one birth center in Atlanta. I've had some births there. So it just depends on your preference. Really your birth philosophy. So I try to help guide that process. What is your birth philosophy? What are the outcomes that you'd like to see at your birth? Mm-hmm. A lot of clients are coming to me because they want to go unmedicated and need tools for coping with pain, with trying to get through the labor. A lot of clients are choosing me too as a Catholic birth doula to help infuse Catholic spirituality into their birth. So What do those prayers look like? How do we add the rosary, talking about concepts of surrender, filling the room with oxytocin to kind of help you really find God in your birth?
That's such a gift too, because sometimes it might seem like if you're going to a medical provider, it's a check in and a check out, but you're really providing an emotional and spiritual investment in the people you're working with. And that's such a great gift for these clients who really need this at such a pivotal point in their lives. So with that in mind, what's been the most rewarding experience in your service as a doula?
I think it is such an honor to be invited into people's most sacred and intimate moments. I truly receive it as an honor and a blessing and a joy. I've gotten to meet the most amazing families. I have mostly Catholic clients, but I do take clients who find me for other reasons. And it's just been such a joy to get to know people, to get to know their families, and to just build relationships. And that community is building. So many moms afterwards will find me, and we do play groups. And that long-term relationship is what I'm looking for.
Yeah. So it sounds like this is not just a pro-birth ministry. It's a pro-life ministry. I mean, you're making lifelong friends.
Yes.
And fellowship throughout this wonderful ministry and experience.
Yeah, when you serve at someone's birth, you are family for life. So I hope I'm a good fit for families and serve them well, and they can see Christ in me, and I can help bring Christ to their birth and hopefully, you know, like their pictures of their babies for from here on to eternity.
Yeah, I think about that Jim Gaffigan quote. He says, you know, I have more pictures of my kids than times my dad looked at me.
Oh, no.
The smartphone, right? There's just an excess of these posts, but you know, you're so proud of these kids, and I'm sure it's just such a gift. What advice would you give to someone discerning the call to be a doula?
I think from a Catholic perspective, you have to go into it with a heart for ministry and a heart for service. The pay is not great. The hours are crazy. An on-call lifestyle is not for everyone. It depends on how many births you want to take a month. I do have three little girls, so my capacity right now is two births a month, and that's kind of puts me in the field of part-time doula work. Sometimes I'll take three, sometimes one, depending on the month and what's going on with my kids. But you have to discern, is God calling you this particular way? There are many other ways to serve women in labor or some postpartum doula type of careers, as well as lactation help. So there's many ways to serve birthing families. I particularly think the on-call lifestyle is very exciting and very fun for me, matches my personality, and I have a lot of energy. If you're a mom yourself, have to figure out childcare. That's probably the biggest challenge with getting into the field.
But I'm sure the rewards are just bountiful. And so when people find you, one, are you working through an agency, or are you this independent operation that people reach out to specifically when they're looking for, you know, an infusion of a doula as well as Catholic integration and spirituality?
Yes. So I am independent. I also have many other Catholic and Christian birth doula friends. So if I'm booked some months, I have a great referral network of local doulas that I would refer to. But yes, I do work by myself because I build such a great relationship with my clients. I can't imagine not being there for their birth. So it would just kill me to like pass them off. I'm listed in the Made for This Birth directory. And so I would make a plug for that for Catholic moms. There's an amazing book by Mary Hazeltine called Made for This Birth. It's a Catholic mom's guide to birth. It's an awesome book. Mm-hmm. There's an app with birth-centered rosaries and pregnancy tracker and birth stories and blogs and resources. So they have a pro-life birth directory, and I'm listed on there, and a lot of my clients find me that way.
That's great. Well, how can anyone listening find you today, or if they need your wonderful services?
You can find me. My website is huladoula.com, HOOLADoula.com. And then I'm also on Instagram, so at huladoula, or you can find me at St. Bridget.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Carissa, for the gifts you are sharing with the world, and especially bringing new life to this world. We are tremendously grateful.
Coming up next, Father Adam Blatt from Christ Our King and Savior is going to be diving into the Word with us.
The Quest presents The Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright.
Father Larry Richards.
Forgive us as we forgive. So if there's one person you refuse to forgive, you're going to hell. No, that's not true. God said it right after he taught us the prayer. If you forgive others, your Father will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. If you're going to pray a prayer, know what it means.
Hear this entire conversation on the Family Room podcast at thequestatlanta.com. New episodes Wednesday mornings at 11 on AM 1160, The Quest. In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's VerseBright.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
This historic time in the pro-life movement makes it critical to support women and families now more than ever before. Pregnancy Aid Clinic, a Catholic pregnancy resource center in Metro Atlanta, offers that support. If you need help or can help, go to PregnancyAidClinic.com.
Ladies, are you having trouble conceiving? Are you looking to regulate your cycles and balance your hormones? RHM Gynecology focuses on the root cause of your symptoms. Start feeling better and stay healthy longer. More information at RHMGYN.com.
Vocations Awareness Week starts November 3rd, culminating with a family mass of vocations Saturday, November 9th at St. Peter Chanel. Afterwards, a discussion with parents of seminaries, priests, and sisters. For more information, click events at thequestatlanta.com.
Discover joyful, faith-filled education at Holy Spirit Prep. Formed in Faith information sessions are November 7th and 13th, so you can see how they nurture faith, intellect, and character from infancy through 12th grade. For more information, click events at thequestatlanta.com.
This is Justin Eikenberry from St. Bridget in Johns Creek, Georgia. You're listening to Atlanta's newest Catholic radio station, AM 1160, The Quest.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
We are so happy to have Father Blatt with us again. He is the pastor at Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, diving into the Word with us. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. It's so good to be back here again with you guys. Today's gospel is from Luke, and so let's just jump right in. Today's gospel, it says, great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. He said, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, this one began to build but did not have the resources to finish. Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king, advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Brothers and sisters, this is it's an interesting reading, especially the way it starts out. It's, you know, Jesus saying, it's almost a different Jesus. We talk about how Jesus is, you know, love your enemy and turn the other cheek and all these things. Now he says, listen, if you want to be my disciple, you got to hate your mom and dad. Mm-hmm. You know I said honor your father and mother, but now I'm saying you got to hate your father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, even yourself. You got to hate your own life to follow me. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the same guy who says the greatest commandment is to love God and then love your neighbor as yourself, you know, that sense of self-love. Mm. And so what's he really saying here? Clearly, it's not what we're reading on the surface. I mean, he's not telling us to hate anybody. Yeah. But what he's doing is he's setting this stage and giving us this example of what essentially I call the cost of discipleship. And what he's doing when he kind of brings up this family, this sort of family division type analogy, he's saying that the cost of discipleship is so great that you have to be able to give up the things in this world that you love the most, whether that's material possessions or relationships or whatever the case may be. But to follow me, you have to give these things up. And it's not just about giving it up. It's also about taking something, you know, taking that cross that I've asked you to carry. And he does this. I think the reason he kind of talks about the suffering for the sake of the kingdom, you know, carrying that cross or the cost of what true discipleship is because he wants you to know. There's not like these big secrets with Jesus, you know, where it's like, oh, we'll give you all the info once you join our club. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. He's like, he lays it all out there because he wants you to come in prepared. You know, that's what the whole second part of this reading really kind of alludes to, is that, you know, talking about the builder who doesn't calculate the cost, mm-hmm. you know, once you begin to build, but you don't have the resources to finish. That's what the cost of discipleship is. He wants you to know the cost of discipleship so that when you're ready to follow him, you've got everything you need. You know what it's going to take, because if you don't know what it's going to take and then that cross comes at you or you're asked to give up something that you're not ready to give up.
Yeah.
You might not be able to finish. You might not be able to persevere in that. And so that's what he's doing here. He's you know, alluding that we need to abandon worldly things and we need to realize the cost that it takes to follow him. What I would say, though, to all those listeners out there today, just kind of your take home, what I'd like you to kind of reflect on today is the cost of discipleship is everything. And so ask yourself, you know, what are the things in your life that you love that are keeping you from God? And what crosses are you afraid to carry? You know, I think that God calls all of us to one thing or another. And sometimes, you know, we jump on that because we're excited. And other times it's like, there's this hesitation, you know. What is it we're hesitating from? What cross are we afraid to embrace? And maybe today, yeah, maybe it's a lot of things, you know, in our lives that we can think of that kind of fall in that category. But today, maybe just think of one of them. Think of one thing today that maybe you're afraid to embrace, one thing that's keeping you from being a true disciple, one thing you're afraid to maybe let go of, just one thing, and work on that one thing. Don't worry about all the other stuff. But if you find that one thing to let go of or that one thing you're afraid to embrace, then when you wake up tomorrow, you'll be a little better disciple. You'll be a little closer. And then each day you just think of one thing. It's not a sprint to heaven. It's a marathon. So take your time. You know, that's what growing in the Spirit means, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that a few things. One, I've heard that the word hate is a strong Semitic expression, meaning love less, right?
Sure.
So
yeah.
It's not a literal recalcitrance towards family or loved ones. Actually, we abide in Christ, we love more. Mm-hmm. But it's really this notion, we can't serve two masters. And this St. Augustine said, we cannot serve two masters. God wants our whole heart. And when we love God above all else, our love for others becomes truer and stronger. Like you just beautifully articulated this notion of giving something up. It's like, I've heard it said, someone's saying, hey man, I know you want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but God's got steak on the grill. But I want to cling to that sack lunch I have so bad.
Exactly.
And oh, I've seen some pictures of, you know, a picture of Jesus and a child, mm-hmm. and they've got a teddy bear, right? And the Lord has a bigger present, something that would be even more amazing to mm-hmm. them if they could just give the Lord what they like, and then he's absolutely gonna give him even more than they desire.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that's it. Those are both exactly perfect analogies. And I think that's what makes this so hard too, is, you know, we have that sack lunch, we have the things that we have that we desire. We don't see the steak on the grill, mm-hmm. right? We don't see what's coming down the road, because that's where that trust in me comes in. That's where that faith comes in. And so it can be scary. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, change is scary, mm-hmm. because change means that we're going to stop being who we are, who we love right now. And we're going to trust that Christ is going to bring us to being something better than we are, mm-hmm. right? Something that we can't see or that we don't realize until hindsight, until after the fact, you know? And I think that change is what makes people so afraid to let go of whatever it is that's they're hanging on to.
And you talk about calculating the cost. So the fear and the danger is somebody gives that thing up and they say, okay, God, where's the spiritual exchange rate? All right, I deserve my heavenly currency.
Sure.
The car is still the same. The job's still the same. But you talk about, we don't see the impact until looking backwards. And sometimes that looking backwards, you know, God willing, it may be in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course.
We don't see the eternal impact, but just trusting that those seeds do bear eternal fruits.
I would even argue that it's always in heaven where you're going to see that fruit, you know, that impact. That's been the tale since the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Christ himself was, you know, as we know now, looking back, we realize, you know, he's the Messiah, he's the Son of Man, the Son of God. That's not who they thought he was going to be. I mean, they were looking for like this big military leader, and so they didn't want to, you know, give that cost up to follow this guy. Like this is not who we want, you know? He came to kind of turn everything upside down.
Yeah.
And so it was only in hindsight, it was only after that, it's only in heaven that they realized that the liberation that he brought was just that. It was a spiritual liberation. And the same thing kind of goes here. It's that cost that rewards us in that spiritual life.
Thank you so much, Father Blatt, for another awesome reflection on today's gospel. We'll see you back next Wednesday.
Thank you so much, guys. It was a pleasure to be here.
Dave Savage, and Donald Trump won his re-election bid for president, defeating Vice President Kamala Harris and becoming the first president in nearly 130 years to secure a non-consecutive second term in the White House. Earlier this morning, Trump said, quote, This was, I believe, the greatest political movement of all time. There's never been anything like this in this country and maybe beyond. And now it's going to reach a new level of importance because we're going to help our country heal. He went on to say, every citizen, I will fight for you, for your family, for your future. Every single day, I will be fighting for you. And with every breath in my body, I will not rest until we have delivered the strong, safe, prosperous America that our children deserve and that you deserve. A proposed pro-abortion amendment in Florida failed to pass yesterday, ending an effort to enshrine broad abortion access in the state constitution and serving abortion advocates with a major defeat in the 2024 election. The pro-abortion lobby poured more than $100 million into Florida in an effort to enshrine abortion. More than $100 million, absolutely. And basically, they outspent the pro-life people 8-1. And they still failed.
It's so interesting. When I was living in Florida for a short period of time as a seminarian, we'd go and pray outside of the abortion clinic sometimes in the West Palm area. And I mean, it was heavily fortified. There was a cop outside, which made it kind of even trickier to dialogue or reach out to people. They had shrubs that completely blocked the view of the facility. There were escorts that would try to get these women right when they got out of the car and bring them into the clinic, often with an umbrella to block their view of the people who were trying to do loving outreach there. So praise God that life is being protected, but I can just tell you firsthand, there is a major fight in the opposite direction as well to try to, you know, spread the gospel.
When you think about it, though, even $100 million spent in Florida, think about the money that they stand to make from this. You know, if they're going to spend that much, you know that financially they're being backed up. I mean, that's
the money's coming from somewhere.
Follow the money. Absolutely. Yeah. So, although now here's the thing, they needed 60% to get that to pass. They still got 57%.
Wow. Yeah. That's very scary.
Yeah. Short of the 60% supermajority required for it to pass.
Do you know if it means that it's off the ballot for the foreseeable future, or is it, you know, next election cycle, they just
cram it
back on there?
We will have to find out.
We have to pray.
Elsewhere, Nebraska and South Dakota also rejected their pro-abortion amendments, and Nebraska approved the sole pro-life initiative up for a vote. The seven other states with abortion on the ballot all voted to enshrine it into their respective state constitutions.
Coming up, Chuck Persner is going to be talking to us about St. Martin de Porres.
We're called to grow in faith through love and care for our neighbors. Hundreds of thousands of Georgians are hungry, need housing, and have inadequate health care. To help, go to thequestatlanta.com and click the St. Vincent de Paul, Georgia logo.
The Golden Arrow Prayer, dictated by our Lord to Sister Mary of St. Peter. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most incomprehensible, and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth and under the earth, by all the creatures of God, and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Amen.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi.
The different ways of approaching conflict became clear to Christopher Award-winning author Amanda Ripley at the Difficult Conversations Lab at Columbia University. The lab has studied hundreds of conversations between people who disagree profoundly on many issues. And these conversations always fell into one of two categories. Participants who simply hunkered down in their own opinions were left steeped in negative emotions. However, when participants entered with a desire to grow in understanding, though their opinions didn't change in the end, they left feeling more open, interested, and engaged, with a respect for the human connection that was made. That itself made it a worthwhile accomplishment.
This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
This is Matt Curry from Men of St. Bridget in Johns Creek, Georgia. You are listening to Atlanta Catholic Radio, AM 1160, The Quest.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160 The Quest. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Chuck Persner from St. Michael the Archangel talking about today's saint. So welcome back, Chuck.
Yes. Thank you, Allison. Good morning. Josh, good morning.
Oh, it's always a good morning with you.
Well, thank you.
Chuckles.
Right. Such love.
I know. The love is in the air. Yeah.
Well, you make this place special.
You right? do, Chuck.
Well, today it's going to be St. Martin de Porres.
Nice.
Who, and again, for our listeners who are parishioners of St. Benedict's in Johns Creek, they're on my mind today. I get there for daily mass from time to time. There's a statue depicting St. Martin de Porres in there, so special hello to them. You know, his feast day was actually this past Sunday, so we thought we would try and get around to him, kind of a look-back segment today.
Yes.
And it's an interesting thing about November, in fact. When we look at the calendar, we look at it, especially on the heels of October. We had so many saints, so many great saints that are so beloved and popular. But it seemed like there weren't as many this month, and that can happen. I mean, it's really kind of a random type thing. It really depends on, kind of comes down to when they die, right?
Yeah.
Because their feast days typically are on the day they die.
That'd be tough if you passed one Christmas or Easter.
St. Anastasia, her feast day is on Christmas. Can you imagine that? One of the seven virgin martyrs.
Wow.
That's a tough break.
Wow. Yeah. I'm sure she's getting no PR.
You are perpetually superseded.
Yes. For good reason.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Who she died for, right?
Amen.
You know, as you look at some of the saints, because I'd noticed, where are some of the saints that I'm used to celebrating in November? And sure enough, St. Martin de Porres falls on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. St. Leo the Great, he falls on a Sunday. We'll probably get around to him this week. Pope and Doctor of the Church, on a Saturday, and you folks aren't on the air, we have St. Margaret of Scotland and St. Gertrude. They split the day.
Really?
And I think we'll probably try and get around to talking about both of them.
Okay.
And, you know, on the topic of St. Gertrude, I would be remiss if I didn't remind everyone we could still pick up those plenary indulgences.
Uh-huh.
I heard you talking about it on the air a few days ago. Let's get to those cemeteries and let's pray for the holy souls over the next 3 days.
Okay, so I prayed on Saturday at the cemetery, so you're saying I could double up and do one today.
You can octuple up. You can get eight. Is that a word? I think I just made up a word.
Eight?
You can get eight of them. But of course, you had to have started on November 1st. But so there's still three available to you and to any of our listeners. All you need to do is pray at the cemetery.
Really? I thought you had to get to confession and pray for the Pope and the chapel.
The normal terms of indulgences do not apply here. I've looked that up and double-checked it. It's a matter of attending the cemetery, any burial place.
Wow.
Doesn't have to be a Catholic cemetery. Just stop by, say some prayers, and it can be applied to a holy soul.
Wow.
Indulgences, unfortunately, can never be applied to a soul here on earth. You can only apply them either to yourself or to a holy soul. Because, you know, but to your point, I know where you're going with this. There's a lot of people I would love to be able to offer an earthly indulgence for, but the church does not allow that. And for good reason. Yeah. I saw an article this week. It was estimated that there have been over 100 billion people to have walked the earth. Now, I don't know how they arrive at that figure, but think about a good number of those are in purgatory, so they need our prayers.
They do. They do.
You know.
So let's talk about St. Martin de Porres. How about
that? Yeah, let's do that. And we'll get to some of the other saints who are going to fall on a Sunday. Elizabeth of Hungary, St. Andrew the Apostle, and of course the great Vietnamese martyr, St. Andrew Dung Lock. But we'll get to them. I think we'll get to them this
month.
So St. Martin de Porres was born in 1579 in Peru. Just to put a frame of reference on things, he was born outside of wedlock, which was unusual at the time and quite scandalous. You know, it was a hard thing to be a child born out of wedlock in our world back then. He was born to a Spanish nobleman, actually. It was Don Juan de Porres y de la Peña. Got a lot of long last name there.
And his mother, was she African American? Or I guess in this case.
Yes, she was African American and native to the land. So she was Indian. So she had, in fact, she was formerly enslaved.
Wow.
So, but Martin's father did, in fact, abandon him and his sister at a young age.
And the mixed race component of his appearance, I heard, was really a catalyst for all kinds of ridicule and, you know, just kind of made him a pariah. Is that correct?
Without question. He was held out of a lot of activities. He was ridiculed on the streets. He was even kept from joining the order that he wanted to religiously, which, yeah, again, that's not something that we should be proud of as part of the Christian belief, but it was the reality at the time. He was, in fact, held out. But, you know, at a young age, he was impoverished and was not able to attend school. But after facing, you know, as you said, Josh, severe persecution due to his family and, you know, serving at a priory that he joined for 8 years, he did, in fact, finally take his vows as a Third Order Dominican. And for the remaining years of his life, he continued to care for all of God's people, really, with a particular lean towards the abandoned, the sick, and then the formerly enslaved.
Wow. And how beautiful is that, right? You know, he was abandoned himself, and here he goes going out and serving others and making up for all that had happened, right?
Yeah.
Some people might get frustrated, irritated, and, you know, be revengeful, right?
Yeah.
He's absolutely out there serving and helping others, not thinking about himself.
He didn't get bitter. He got better.
Yes. There you go.
That's a good, and it's a good attitude for all of us, because I think there's a victim mentality that can pervade our society. Yes. We can all fall victim to it, you know, and we've got to remember, we got to persevere, because that's what he did.
And listen to this quote. I love this quote. Do not complain. That shows discontent with the will of God in the present moment. That is also proof of impatience. I mean, when I read that, I was like, wow, you know, if something is not going the way I expected, don't complain about it. It might not be God's will at the moment. I'm being impatient. So praise God for this quote. Yeah. It really spoke to me.
So he also apprentices a barber slash surgeon.
Yeah, how about that? It's an interesting combo, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that some barbers are soul surgeons. If you talk to some friends, they turn into, I guess, counselors or spiritual advisors. But he learned these medicine and healing skills that he used to later on to care for the sick and poor in his community.
Yeah, it's just such a docile spirit. Where do you need me? What can I do?
Yes.
You need a barber? Okay, I'll learn how to be a barber. I'll be a surgeon's assistant. And he was just always available, always there. The best ability is availability.
Amen. Another quote from him, everything, even sweeping, scraping vegetables, weeding a garden, and waiting on the sick could be a prayer if it were offered to God. So again, no matter what we do, we can offer it as a prayer to God.
Amen. And, you know, shades of St. Therese of Lisieux.
Yes,
in her little way.
Yes.
You know, and we got to remember that. Most of us don't get to be rock stars and center fielders for the Yankees, right? We are in jobs that can at times feel menial.
Yeah.
So what do? We do it with joy. And we bring the gospel into the work place.
Well, you never know where the Lord is going to use you. So absolutely be present.
Yep.
He was also an advocate for social justice and racial equality, which not too surprising, but he spoke out against racial injustice and prejudice, advocated for the equal treatment of people of all backgrounds. And obviously his own experience as a mixed race individual was a propellant for this.
Instead of becoming bitter, he took it and opted for change.
Well, he passed away November 3rd, 1639. He was canonized by Pope John the 23rd in 1962, becoming the first black saint from the Americas.
Wow.
Amen. St. Martin de Porres.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And Dave.
Hey, Dave.
It's always a party with Dave.
From what I understand, I heard a little something about this. We had an election yesterday.
We did.
Yeah, it was American Idol, right?
Yes, it was. No, but I found some election, like, political fun facts here.
Nice.
So let's talk about that a little bit. There are 172 countries that have elections. And as far as voter participation goes, the United States is ranked 139th.
What?
Really?
Yes, out of 172 countries.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, way down there toward the bottom. The first election to use a voting machine was in 1892.
Ah.
Really?
Yeah.
1892?
It had to be kind of primitive. I mean, there's no computer chips or anything. You know,
it was a Dominion voting machine, right?
Yeah. Jimmy Carter was the first president born in a hospital.
That is wild.
Yeah.
What? That is absolutely wild.
Yeah. Yeah. George Washington was the only president who did not represent a political party.
Huh.
All the rest of them did. I think back then it was like the Whigs or something.
Wow.
Wasn't it? The Whig party.
Just said, I am America. Right? That was his.
Exactly. Also on George Washington, he blew his entire campaign budget on 160 gallons of liquor to serve to potential voters.
Wow.
Got him liquored
that's
up.
That's trying to grease the wheels.
Yeah.
Man, that's
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
In 1845, Congress decided that voting day... Do you know why yesterday was voting day?
No.
What? It's on Tuesday. So every 4 years, it's the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November of even-numbered years.
Oh.
So there has to be a Monday before it. It can't be like November 1st would never be the general election. So basically, they decided that it would be the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November, which was after the fall harvest, but before winter conditions made it too difficult to get to the polls.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm.
Some other fun facts. Abraham Lincoln was the tallest U.S. president, 6'4".
Wow.
Six foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is 6'3", so he's close.
Wow.
Is Lincoln still the tallest?
Mm-hmm. He is.
Do you think the hat added like 6 inches, though? I see him with the top hat.
I think it was more like
probably,
12 inches.
Yeah. Without the hat, he was 6'3".
He was 5'2".
I'm hopefully 5'10", but I'm just saying with some heel lifts and the top hat, man, I could be crushing 6'6".
Join a basketball team.
There you go.
The 18th president of the United States was Ulysses S. Grant, and he was given a $20 speeding ticket for riding his horse and buggy too fast down a street in Washington, D.C.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Yeah. Speeding ticket.
For riding his horse? Well, I guess he had a Mustang, pun intended.
Apparently. Maybe it was a Bronco.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's so wonderful having comedians on the show.
I don't think they caught him on radar, though.
How do you clock somebody?
I don't know. They must have just said, hey, that's too fast. I don't know.
We can tell by the hoof prints. I don't know how you can actually decipher that.
And when was the White House's first website? When do you think that was?
I have no clue.
Didn't Al Gore invent the internet?
He did.
So, I'm going to guess, let's say at 96.
You're really close, 94.
Wow.
Under President Clinton, his administration was the first to have a White House website.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I wonder how it looked and functioned.
Probably a lot different than it does today.
Yeah, probably like the early ballot boxes, right?
I think so.
And coming up, Jane Smith from St. Brendan Navigator in Cumming, Georgia, is going to be talking to us about the corpus in their home parish. So we can't wait to hear that.
This is Mari from the Family Room here at The Quest Atlanta. John and Craig and I would love for you to join us at a wonderful retreat November 15th through 17th at Heritage, which is a beautiful new Catholic retreat center in Crawfordville, Georgia. Go to thequestatlanta.com and click on our event calendar. Scroll to the weekend of November 15th and you will be able to sign up there. Join us at the retreat where we are going to be sharing the wisdom, the wit, and all the experiences that we've gained from 3 years of hosting wonderful people here in the Family Room.
I'm Camille Pauly with Healing the Culture. I'm sure you've heard the claim that abortion is necessary for women to find happiness. But did you know that in nearly every valid poll, 60% of women believe that abortion should be illegal in all or most circumstances? So if the happiness claim is true, are millions of pro-life women jeopardizing their own dreams for fulfillment? Well, it all depends on what you mean by happiness. Most women understand that real happiness doesn't come from sacrificing another human being to achieve our material and ego goals. It comes from sacrificing ourselves for other human beings in order to bring about love. That's who women are. It's what defines us. When women choose abortion against their generous maternal instincts, it leads to severe unhappiness. Clinical depression, drug and alcohol abuse, rates of psychiatric treatment, suicide, they're all significantly higher in women who have had abortions. 60% of them say that part of them died in the abortion. The claim that abortion is necessary for happiness is very deceptive. Giving up personal goals to take care of someone who's vulnerable makes people feel noble and good. But rejecting, neglecting, or abandoning someone who is vulnerable in order to pursue personal goals makes us feel guilty and ashamed. This is because human beings are made for love, and our hearts know when we have betrayed our deepest meaning and purpose.
For more truth in 90 seconds, visit healingtheculture.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are so excited to have Jane Smith with us. She is a parishioner at St. Brendan's in Cumming, Georgia, and she is going to be talking to us about their one-of-a-kind crucifix. Welcome to the Quest, Jane.
Oh, thank you, Allison.
So, Jane, how did St. Brendan's acquire this corpus that you have in your parish?
Well, it all started with a gentleman from a parish family. He approached our pastor, Father Matthew Van Smorenberg. He had a request that Father Matthew baptize his grandchild, but at a different day and a different time than we usually hold baptisms. So Father Matthew agreed and performed the baptism. And the grandfather asked Father if there was anything he needed. And Father replied that he was looking for a corpus for our cross. We had a Celtic cross, which is a flat cross that does not have Jesus on it. The man replied that he knew of two sources that might be able to help. One was in Mexico, and the other was a young prisoner in Angola prison in Louisiana, who he had heard had quite a talent for carving. So Father Matthews, to his credit, said, "Let's give the prisoner a chance." I knew nothing of this until Father presented the completed carving at the church. It seems it was done by Marty James Hebert. He was the prisoner, and I have found out after that he had worked for 10 weeks on the carving, stopping to study it each day, wanting to capture the right expression for the face. He said that was the hardest part. Mm. And he said he prayed to God to guide his hands every day before he started work on it. People have asked where he got the idea for it, but he had been given a drawing of the corpus with the dimensions sketched out on it by Father Matthew. And I do have a copy of that drawing. He had sent it to me after. When it was completed, two parishioners drove a rented truck to the prison. It was a distance of almost 600 miles to pick it up and bring it back to St. Brendan's. And they met Marty and were very impressed with him. Shortly after that, in June of 2014, just before the Feast of Corpus Christi, it was carried to the altar by members of the Knights of Columbus, and we had a dedication ceremony, and that was quite beautiful.
That's amazing.
How did you come to know the prisoner who carved this incredible work of art?
Well, I didn't know him, but when I first saw the carving, I thought it was so beautiful that I wrote to him. As I said, his name is Marty James Hebert, and I thanked him. And a short while later, I was surprised to find a letter on my volunteer desk at the church from Marty, telling me he was so touched by my words that he forwarded my letter to his parents. And he said, "Still a kid at heart, always wanting to please my parents." That touched me.
Wow.
Yeah. So shortly after that, I received a phone call at the church from Marty's dad, his name is Skippy, thanking me for what I had written to his son. And he told me when Marty was just 22, he had gotten into a fight with a friend and killed him. He was 41 years old now at the time I was speaking to the father, and serving a term of life without parole. And I asked if there was no hope of him ever getting out. And he said, "I would never say there is no hope. There is always hope." Mm-hmm. Maybe the laws will change, the governor might change the law, maybe a new governor, etc. There's always hope. So fast forward to today, Marty is now 51 years old and has been in prison for 28 years. We've exchanged over 300 letters during the last 10 years, and I have come to know him very well. And I'm blessed to be able to call him my friend. There was a time when I thought that all prisoners were bad people and deserved to be there. And I thank God for showing me how wrong I was.
Wow. That is so amazing, Jane. Have you ever met him in person?
Yes. I actually have made two trips to the Angola Rodeo with a dear friend in 2019 and 2021. That was just amazing to visit him. we found him to be just as warm and open and charming as I knew he would be, and more so. He was he's just a wonderful person, and we had a wonderful time chatting with him and getting to know him better, although I felt that I really didn't know him quite well at the time.
Can you kind of tell us a little bit about the rodeo? Because he does other work there as well.
Yes, the rodeo, it's put on by the prison twice a year, and the inmates who are trustees are allowed, if they have arts and crafts background, they can carve items or some paint, some do carpentry, where they make all kinds of things they can sell at the rodeo. So Marty has mostly Santa Clauses that he carves out of cypress knees, and the prisoners can sell them. They make money from them, and the money goes into their personal account. Of course, the prison takes a good chunk of it, and they can use that to purchase personal items, stamps, snacks, more material to make more items during the year. It's really a great thing, the rodeo, because the prisoners know it gives them an incentive to follow the rules, because they know if they don't, they'll lose that privilege. Before the rodeos, Angola was a much more violent prison, but not so much now.
Wow, praise God. Well, Jan, is there anything else you'd like to share? This has been so touching.
The thing I mostly would like to do is to thank you for hearing my story about Marty, and to invite all of you to come visit us at St. Brendan's and see this beautiful crucifix for yourselves. And when you stand or kneel in awe in front of it, because you will, please say a prayer for Marty. And whenever you think of him afterwards, just say a little prayer or mention his name, and God will know. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Wow, it is so moving to hear the love you have in your heart for this gentleman, and how you are witnessing Christ's love to him and to all of us, mm-hmm. just by sharing God's unconditional mercy, love, and compassion.
And yes, it's true. He knows it. He knows he's been forgiven. And I know he's not the same person he was at 22 years old, and neither am I. When I write to him, I always try to end my letters with something uplifting. I have to say, truthfully, oftentimes he's the one who lifts my spirits.
That is so beautiful, Jane. Thank you again so much for sharing this beautiful story. I've been to St. Brendan's, but when I go back to that parish, I'm going to look at that amazing corpus with different eyes after learning about all this.
I know you will.
Thanks again, Jane Smith from St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming, Georgia.
Thank you.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
And Dave.
Yay, Dave.
And Dave. It ain't a party without Dave in the house.
Listening to that conversation you had about the crucifix at St. Brendan's,
yeah.
Navigator in Cumming, I went there for confession. This is a few months ago. And the way, you know, you kind of sit in the back of the church there. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at that crucifix up there. And I'm like, it's moving.
Wow.
It looked like it was moving. And I'm like, is it moving? And then I thought, well, maybe there's like a fan on it that's blowing. I wasn't close, so I couldn't really see that it's a solid. I didn't know what it was made of or anything,
yeah,
you know, but I'm like, it really looked as if it was moving. Well, then I went to confession, then, you know, came out and went up to the altar, and I'm like, this is solid. I mean, there's no way that was moving, but I was looking for a good 5 minutes.
Wow.
And weren't you saying that it looked like his arms were kind of moving?
Well, it was like a, you know, like if somebody gets up and they have a bad back or something, and they kind of move like it's a specific kind of move where they're trying to avoid pain. That's the kind of movement that it looked like it was making.
That's a grace, Dave. That is a grace that God gave you to see that.
Yeah, that's wild.
Sometimes God really gives us profound graces and yet moments where that are just beyond our explanation, but speak to our heart, you know.
Mm-hmm. But definitely go up and check. If you have never been to St. Brendan's and coming, make sure you go up there and check that out, and the crucifix up there at the altar.
St. Brendan's the Navigator.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. He's the Navigator. St. Brendan's the Navigator. I get it. He's a man. Wasn't, you know, afraid to ask for directions. So
that's right.
Yeah. And there too, we had a conversation as well about the Shroud of Turin with another parishioner there. So they've got amazing stuff there. Treasures of the Church. I mean, little pilgrimages, local pilgrimages for you all to go and learn and experience. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Well, we love you guys, and we have some very special events heading our way within the diocese. So this Friday, 20s and 30s ministry, young adult adoration, Pack the Cathedral, Holy Hour at Christ the King Catholic Church from 8 to 9. Going to be really, really awesome. So if you're a young adult, go check that out. And then the next day they have a service project. Well, they will be cleaning up a trail. So great opportunity to be of service and meet wonderful, holy, like-minded people.
And also November the 9th, Father Tom Davis is going to be having the retreat, speaking on bioethics at St. John Chrysostom Catholic Church. So definitely go to our calendar to get more information about that one.
And if you want to hear the conversation you had with him, with the father, it's in yesterday's show.
Davis.
You can go to
questatlanta.com. We had a conversation with him, yes.
Questatlanta.com. You can check out yesterday's show. It's very interesting.
Magnificat Meal, the women's prayer breakfast, is coming up November the 16th from 9:30 to 12:30. So go ahead and sign up for that one too as well. And then some great shows coming up today. A great special on the radio at 10 o'clock this morning following the 60th quadrennial presidential election. Join them for a discussion on what's next for America. That's an EWTN Nightly News election special in the morning. And then have lunch with Father John Ricardo.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Have a great day.